Good morning. As you know, we're going to be continuing, actually finishing our series through the book of Philippians. So if you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and put your finger there, as Marshall says often. I thought this would be really good this morning. But if you'll put your finger there in Philippians chapter 4 and then turn over to Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together and worship you as we have sang praises to you, and now as we open your word and worship you by the ministry of the word. Father, we just pray that you will speak to us, that you will give us eyes to see, and Lord, that you would help us to understand your scripture as we finish the book of Philippians today. And Father, I thank you for this group that's gathered here today. Father, we thank you for the time that we've been able to spend here in this building, and we look forward to the move and just the new things ahead. Father, we just pray that you would bless that as you have been blessing. Father, we just again ask that you would bless this time as we worship in the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now turn back over to Philippians. And I was just thinking as I was reading that, Marshall might have read that in the last few weeks. I can't remember, but it's real pertinent to read it again. It really fits our scripture. So, but we're going to be finishing up Philippians. And last week, Marshall covered part of the beginning of Philippians, but Marshall covered 10 through 13, and then we're going to be covering the rest. But we're going to begin reading and just begin reading in verse 10 of chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And this will be our focal passage starting in verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And just to begin the message as an introduction, I'm going to be talking some about giving in this message. And I just want to make it kind of clear, you know, a lot of us have been in churches where we have building campaigns ongoing and you hear preachers preaching on giving over and over again. Maybe the budget's not being met. Maybe the pastor's salary's in danger, you know. There's an urgency to trying to increase giving. Yeah, maybe there's the idea that staffs are going to have to be cut. All these things. And you hear these messages like that on giving. I just want to make it clear that's not what this message is today. It's not like that. It's not about giving. This is not a needs-based message about giving. We don't need to increase giving. That's not what it's about. But it is a message about giving. And the reason we're preaching it is why? Because it's at the end of Philippians. We've come to the text and we're going to preach on it. And it's a good text to preach on. So I'm not apologizing for it. I just want to make it clear so that you don't start thinking, oh, here goes that again. If you'll notice, those of you who've been here a while, we don't really mention that. We don't do an offering. There's a basket over there, and that's why we're doing that. But we believe God provides those things. We're not worried about that. But see, we are kind of like Paul talks about in this message. We're full. We're moving into a building next week with some new members that's paid for. You know, we got money to fix the building up. We're in good shape that way. So we feel like we're supplied, and we're confident that God provides what's necessary. He provides those things. There's no reason for us to be to be begging for money. But what we find here is in the Word of God, and there's some great joy that can be found in this text. The reason we preach the text the way that we do is we go through verse by verse as we preach every part of the Bible. We're going to preach every part of the Bible. And we're confident as we open the Word up, like Marshall says, if we just read the Scripture, if we just stood up here and read the whole time, it would be beneficial. And that's what we believe. So Marshall preached last week on verses 10 through 13. And what did we learn from Paul? We learned Paul was writing, and in 10 through 13, he said, through all of the things, all of the sufferings, all of the trials that he had had, every situation that he had found himself in, what was it? He learned the secret of being content, no matter where he was. And really, I think like Marshall talked about last week, the secret of it is that it's stated in verse 13, no matter where he found himself in all of those things, he could do anything, any of those things through Christ, through God who strengthened him. So in God's strength, let me just read it again. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He had found the secret to contentment. So Paul's saying that in any situation, he learned to be content. Paul said he knew how to be brought low, with not having much stuff. He was content there. He knew how to abound, how to have an abundance. He would be content there. He knew that in any circumstances, whether he was facing plenty or facing hunger, whether he was hungry, whatever the situation, that he had learned to be content. Because whatever situation that came to him, wherever he found himself, he knew that the strength that he had to face that situation came from God. And God enabled him to be content. But verse 14 where we pick up today, so he said that. He said, I'm not in need, and besides, even if I would be content. But then in verse 14 he says, yet it was kind of you. So I find myself being able to be content, Paul says, in any situation, yet it was kind of you, Philippians, he says in verse 15. Or verse 14. And he said, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And then notice in verse 15 where Paul says that in the beginning, when he had left Macedonia, y'all remember that Paul, when he heard the Macedonian cry, we talked about it, he went up to Macedonia, and where did he end up going? It was to Philippi. And remember, there was no synagogue there. It was a Roman colony. So he goes up. Where did he go at first? To the river, where the women might come out and gather to pray. He went to the river, and there he met some women, and he ministered to them. And then he went in to the city, and what happened? He gets thrown in jail. And then the doors of the jail are opened up, and this jailer's about to kill himself, to fall on his sword. And what happened? The jailer's converted. And there you have the beginnings of the church at Philippi. He's there just a little bit longer, and then he gets run out of the city. I guess maybe the next day, you know, because the jailers, they come, and anyway, they get run out. That was the beginning of the church at Philippi. It was a small beginning, wasn't it? He left there. And he says, from the beginning, you remember when we left Macedonia, after they left, the Philippian church had helped Paul from the beginning. He ends up in Thessalonica. And you know what happens in Thessalonica? The Philippian church is sending help to Paul there. In verse 10 says that they were concerned for him, but that they had no opportunity. He says, now you've revived your concern for me. I know you were concerned for me, but you didn't have opportunity. So apparently, after Paul was helped by them in Thessalonica, there was a period of time where they didn't help him anymore. But Paul says they didn't have opportunity. And Marshall had talked about last week, you know, they didn't have a way to connect. You know, there was no email. They weren't, the Thessalonians or the Philippians weren't on Facebook checking out where Paul was at on the journey. He wasn't updating it from his phone. So they lost contact with him. They didn't have any opportunity to help him. But now we find ourselves 10 years later, and they are again. But also notice there at Macedonia where he says in verse 15, from the beginning when they left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So the Philippian church was the only church from the area that was partnering with Paul. They were supporting his needs as he's ministering in another area. This church is supporting his needs and enabled him to preach the gospel without being a burden on those people that were there. And so now 10 years later, Paul's in jail and he finds the Philippians sending this help again. How does Paul react? We see it in verse 10. He says, I rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord. He was rejoicing in this support that the Philippian church had sent to him. You know, he's lost contact, but here they are again, sending the support to him. He says, I learned to be content. I was content in my situation, but I rejoice in your gift. I rejoice in the gift that you sent. He rejoiced that they had revived their concern for him. But then notice in verse 11 he says, I'm not speaking of being in need. You know, he's rejoicing that they sent the gift, but he wants to make it clear to them. He's talking about, I rejoice in this gift, but wait a minute. It's sort of like he says, wait a minute, I just want to be clear. I'm not asking for the gift. I'm not asking that you send the gift. I'm not speaking of being in further need, but I rejoice in your gift. And And then he goes on in verse 15, if you'll look there. Let's see. I'm sorry, not 15. Let me look. Verse 17. What does Paul say? He rejoices in the gift, but he's not wanting to ask them for more. He said previously that I am supplied. I have supply. But then in verse 17 he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit. He said, you know, he's rejoicing in their gift, but he's making it clear, I'm not asking you, I'm not seeking the gift, but I seek the fruit. I seek this fruit that increases to your credit. And so Paul rejoices that they've given the gift, but he wants to make it clear, I'm not asking you for a gift. I'm asking, what I'm seeking is the fruit that goes to your credit. And so I want to just kind of talk about, there's some different motivations that we have for giving. You know, we have different motivations for giving. Some people might give to receive credit. You know, there's a gift that I'm going to do my part to receive credit. And Paul talks about something being given here to their credit. But he's saying it's not the gift. It's not really the gift. It's the fruit. It's the fruit that produces this gift that gives them the credit. And Jesus, the text that we read about earlier, Jesus was speaking of, where are you building your treasure, you know? Don't build your treasure here on earth on these things that go away, but build your treasure in heaven. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here. He's not really concerned about the physical things, but he desires to see that fruit produced in the people of God, that they would give like this. That it's a fruit that is given to them by God. He says, I'm well supplied. I'm well supplied. I don't need a gift, but I seek this fruit. And then he goes on to say, look in verse. He says, I seek not the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit in verse 17. And then he says, I have received full payment and more. He's talking about this fruit that he's seeking. He says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. I am well supplied in the joy of the fruit and seeing the fruit that's producing this giving in you. So Paul, I believe he's saying, I see the fruit of your treasure being put in heaven, of you concentrating on building these treasures in heaven instead of storing up things on this earth to try to build treasures on earth. He says, I have received your gift. I didn't desire the gift, but I see the fruit and I'm well supplied. Praise God. That's what Paul says here. So he's seeing the fruit. He had seen the fruit in the past of the church at Philippi giving and supporting him. And he's seeing it now. And then in the same way in the church at Corinth, if y'all turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Now the Corinthian church was a little different. I don't know if y'all remember, the Corinthians were a little different. Okay, Philippi, you know, the gifts had come to Paul, and he's telling them here, he's careful here not to talk too much about the gift, but he doesn't want them to think, hey, I'm in need, send more, but he knows they would, and they probably will anyway. But the church in Corinth wasn't that way. Paul ended up having to encourage them to give, you know, and to support the ministry. And in 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And I basically wanted to read that because we see here Paul teaching on the purpose of the giving. What is the purpose of the giving? What is the fruit? What is the purpose? Is it to give? Here he talks about those who sowing bountifully will reap bountifully. But Paul was encouraging them to give and to be cheerful about their giving. Give what God leads them to give. And that's what Paul was teaching the Corinthian church, but he was calling on them to give. But what was the point of his encouraging the Corinthian church to give and this praising of the Philippian church to give or for their gifts? Was it because of the gifts? It wasn't because of the gifts. It was because of what the churches would receive, what we receive when we give. The purpose of us giving is just acknowledging that God has given us all that we have. Everything that we have is His. And we give those things to God, and it's not to earn anything. It's really for our own joy. And I think we'll see that a little bit more as we continue through. But really this giving, this attitude of giving, being willing to give, to distribute things, or to give to people that are in need, to give to our brothers and sisters in need, to give for the work of the gospel, it's really just a fruit of being in Christ. When we are in Christ, it will produce a fruit of this. Well, first of all, this contentment, being content with what we have, and also this contentment that knowing that we can give it all away and it doesn't matter. You know, we can give those things away, but these things don't matter what we have here on the earth. We all struggle with this. I've struggled with it mightily. You know, this American dream idea of having all this stuff. But you know, we got to be able to just to lay that stuff aside and know that our joy will not come from that stuff. It comes from seeing the gospel go out. It comes from giving it away. That's where the joy comes. When God blesses you with money and you can give it away and see someone influenced or helped by that, there's great joy in that. And 1 John 3:17 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" He's saying God's love, that's not the fruit of God's love abiding in someone. The fruit of God's love abiding in one is this willingness to give away. And we can rest in knowing that. And so in Philippians 4 verse 19, Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." We can cheerfully be ready to give. You know, and I'm not asking you to give. I'm not saying that. I'm talking to myself too here. You know, as we study, this scripture's really kind of hit me right, you know, pretty hard as I've been studying it. But we should be cheerfully ready to give as we see one another. If we see someone in the church in need or even given to the ministry of the church, those things, we can cheerfully be ready to give those things or give towards the proclamation of the gospel in our area or give towards the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth, wherever it is. But we can know that God's going to supply our needs as we give those things away. We don't have to worry about it. He will supply those things. And Paul knew this firsthand. We see it in our text. He knew it firsthand. He's in prison in Rome. He hasn't heard from the Philippians in all this time. And just think, here comes this guy. You know, he comes up and here's the Philippian church. They bring these gifts. He's in prison. He possibly didn't have his needs supplied. And here they come. Here's the gift. And you see it here in this text where Paul's praising God for them. He has all that he needs. And so as we give our stuff away, we can imagine it. And Paul knew it firsthand. And we see here, just think, out of the blue, they show up. And God has provided his needs. And what does he say? He says, I know that God, my God, have you noticed that? He says, I know that my God will supply your needs. My needs have been met in this just miraculous way. I know God will supply your needs. And then how does he end it here in verse 20? He says, I know that my God will supply, in verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see his response. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Paul goes on to finish the letter. We're going to speak a little bit more to this giving, but Paul goes on to finish the letter. And you know, you can kind of dismiss these last two verses, 20 or three verses, 21 through 23. It's just, do you ever find yourself doing that? You'll read and just kind of read these last three verses and say, oh, here's the salutation, and just kind of read through them. But I want you to notice something here. Let's read them. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. This is verse 21. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So we could easily read through that and not pay any attention. But I want you to notice he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul writing the letter back, thanking them for all they've done and giving them encouraging words in the whole letter. And Paul says, I send greetings to every saint in the church in Philippi. Each one of you, you know, each one of you individually. But then he goes on, he says, but not only I send greetings to each of you, the brothers who are with me greet you. The brothers who are with me greet you, each one of you. And not only the brothers who are with me greet each one of you, but especially, the saints that greet you too. But I want you to notice the especially those of Caesar's house greet you. Especially those of Caesar's house. Now, I want you to imagine the church at Philippi, they sent this gift, Paul, you know, thinking, how is Paul, you know, is he about to die? They're worried about him. Let's send some money or some food and stuff for him. He's in prison. He's facing his death. They're distraught. They send the message. They tell him some things about, send the messenger with the gifts and tell some things about the church. They receive this letter back. And so they're supporting him in the ministry there in the Roman prison. And they get this letter back, and you know, you think, oh, Paul greets each of us, you know. And so you're standing there, and you're one of the Philippian churches. Just say he wrote it to Lord River Bible Church. But he says, I greet each one of you. And then he says, not only me, but the brothers who are with me greet you. And all the saints who are with me greet you. But especially those of the household of Caesar. The household of Caesar. You know who Caesar was? This is the head of the Roman Empire. So, maybe I'm sort of imagining this in my head, but in my mind I'm thinking, if I'm sitting there and I'm supporting him here, I think there's believers in the household of Caesar. God has shared the gospel. I mean, Paul has shared the gospel with the people around him, and we have believers in the household of Caesar. Which that would have included his guard and just everybody in the whole household that worked. The servants in the household and everyone. But just imagine the joy that came from hearing this news back. That there's people in the household of Caesar that have believed. So, I want you to see in this that do you think some of the needs of the Philippians were met by their giving and receiving this news back? Can you think about that? They've sacrificially given some of their money to support Paul, but then they receive this news back that there's believers in the household of Caesar. Things are going on there because of your support. The gospel is going out into the household of Caesar. These people are going to leave and go throughout the Roman Empire. Think of how the gospel's spreading because of Paul being in prison there. So they're taking part. They're participating with Paul and the work of God. God is working as the gospel is taught and preached there in the prison. And the gospel is taking root. People's lives are being changed, and it's going to spread throughout the whole empire. So you can see the joy that you get from the giving in that. That's a joyous thing. I mean, you take your money and go buy something with it. And it's fun for a little while. Trust me, I keep trying it over and over and over again. It's fun for a little while. Or maybe you don't even have the money and you buy it. You go borrow the money and buy it like I foolishly do a lot. And then the fun wears off and it's just there. But imagine investing your money this way, where you see the fruit of the gospel taking root in other nations, in other places. There's some observations that I have for us from the scripture. I want you to think just a minute about our situation here. Could we be standing here right now this morning asking for money? You know, really, you know, for some project. I was just thinking we could very easily have a thermometer over here, you know, with giving levels. You know, have y'all seen those? There's one on the highway between here and Searcy with giving levels, you know, where we have a goal of this. You know, we could be asking for that. And, you know, as far as a building, when Marshall and I, when we started thinking about this church, well, let's see, it's almost a year. Just think it'll be a year. February 16th was our first meeting. When we started talking about this church, you know, it was just me and Marshall, my family, and we were talking about it. And my desire, God just kind of moved in me as I preached in other churches around that I desire that there be a strong biblical preaching church that's focused on the right things somewhere in this area that my kids can go to when they're my age. That's all that drove me to do that. It's just, I want my kids, if they're here, to be able to go to a church. And I started looking at other churches and thinking, I hope I could go into one and maybe change some stuff. And I thought, it's just going to cause more trouble than more harm than good. And so Marshall and I started talking. And anyway, we started this church and rented this building. We didn't have anything. We didn't have any chairs or any stuff to meet in here. So we started talking about that. We started talking about borrowing chairs. But in all that situation, we didn't ever ask anybody for money. God provided the means for it. We bought all the stuff, started the church, and God provided it. And we thought we'll meet here for so long, and after a period of time, we'll think about doing something else. So we could be having some kind of building program or thinking about that. But we're not. You know, we thought we were happy, we were content meeting here, and then out of the blue, I get in touch with the people from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, not on purpose, it just happened. You know, it's a God thing. God put us together in that way. But we could be thinking about buildings and thinking about that, but we're not. And you know why that is? God has provided those things. God provides those things. And I think about, you think about the needs of a building. You know, we have some new brothers and sisters in Christ from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church that have joined with us, and they've given us a building. That's a gift. That's a gift from God. It's not really from them, it's from God. But still yet, they sacrificed for years in that church. You had Mr. Foster that's preached there for years. That church to him is like this church would be to me 30 years from now, you know. Yet he willingly laid that out, you know, and they joined with us, and they have given, you know, they've given the building and money to fix it and all those things. Well, that's a gift that's going to bring them great joy. It's that same type of thing. But yet God has provided. Are we worried about the building or any of those things? No, God's provided. And as we go forward, as we think ahead, hearing the word of God that was given to us in the Philippian letter, we can go forward knowing that. We can be willing to give our money, give our time, give all those things to the cause of Christ, whether it be in Burma where we already have connections. I mean, we have the opportunity to do that there as we go forward. Whatever it is that God gives us to do, I am asking you guys to be willing to give. I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to give for a building or any of those things. I'm just asking you to see this and be willing to give as we go forward. And you can know that when you give, God's going to supply for your own needs. He'll do it. Just like He's going to supply for you guys' needs. You've given the building, given the church. But now you're in the church. I mean, the church is still there, and it's going to continue. But God will provide the needs going forward for you guys, and He's going to provide the needs for all of us. So as we go forward and we see these opportunities, we can rest in being just like this church in Philippi. Just lay the gifts out, knowing that if it's for truthful things as we go forward, that God is going to bless it, and He's going to bring us great joy for that. And I want you to also think and know, just know as we go forward, that Marshall and I and the leadership of the church will not be investing that money unfruitfully in those other ministries. We don't do that. I believe that, you know, the gifts are there. It's fruit that we give, but at the same time, we want to give to ministries that are teaching the truth in other countries, where the gospel is truly going forward and not just haphazardly throw money away or those type of things. But as we go forward, that's the way we should approach it. Our desire will be that we can look at those things, and we can look at whatever the things end up being that we invest our time and money in. And we can look at it, and we can be like the Philippians. We know that as we invest, we'll be like the Philippians when they received this letter back. We can imagine hearing those words as we send the letters out, especially the household of Caesar, or especially whatever the situation may be. And we can anticipate being filled by joy. We will be filled with joy as we hear those words. Because I guarantee you, as we invest in gospel proclamation in Burma, which we probably will in the future in Burma, there will be churches planted. There will be lives changed in that country as the gospel goes out and as pastors are trained in that country. And we're going to get the letters, and we can invest knowing that money we're building, in that money we're not building treasures for ourselves, but we're building treasures in heaven. And those things will be, they will go on our account. We won't earn righteousness because of them, but reward. And part of the reward will be the joy that we experience right here. That's a big part of the reward that we'll experience. So I just want to close the message with verse 23, and I just think about these things. And verse 23 is, I want to just say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ and Little Red River Bible Church, brothers and sisters, saints in Christ Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You and just praise You for all that You've done, all that was accomplished on our behalf through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that You have opened our eyes to, Lord, just to see the truth of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And Father, we're thankful that You've given us those new hearts so that we might desire the things of God and that we might believe the gospel and have that faith that brings salvation. Thank You for that salvation. And Father, we're thankful for the opportunities we see ahead of us as we've seen people just willingly give and Father, people willingly come and join us. And Father, we just praise that You'll guide us as we go forward. Father, we don't want to be so concerned about building big kingdoms here on earth or big churches or big campuses. Father, let us be content. Let us be willing to grow, willing to have new people come, but also be content with where we are, where we have been and where we're at. Father, we know that mighty things can happen as the gospel goes out, even from a small group of people. Father, we just pray that you would help us to see ways that we can minister to others around us and people that are just open our eyes to see the people that we can influence and share the good news with that are around us each day. And also, Father, we just pray that you would guide us into any way that we can serve you with our money or our finances or our time or buildings or whatever those things might be. We just ask that you would that the Holy Spirit would, Lord, just guide us into those things. And Father, we just praise you and give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.